I'm Mike Almond, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Alex Lapp. Alex! What's up, man?
Not too much, Mike. Happy to be here. And today we have a very special guest, don't we?
We do. We do have a very special guest, but I'm going to do that super rude thing and put them on hold a second longer to get through all of our nonsense. We're going to be talking to somebody about a lot of group hug and a really cool deck. And just honestly, you know how things go. We're going to go off the rails and talk about other stuff because that's just how conversation goes. But before all that, if you want to support conversations like that and all of our nonsense and our derailing of actual conversation, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/socialcontractedu. or search for The Social Contract at their homepage. You can also check out the show notes for a direct link there, and also a direct link to our Discord server. There it's easy to ask Judge Alex for rules questions, look at cards that are entirely fun but entirely underutilized, as well as suggest topics for the show. Alex, we recently got two more patrons from our Discord server supporting this show.
Oh my God.
And doing things like, providing us with the funds to be able to get you a microphone. So both of our lives, well, my life is a lot easier. I think your life is more complicated,
but in a way that makes my life easier. Yeah, that's the important
thing. It's so much nicer. And we really appreciate that. Something else that we appreciate is our guest here, Doug. How are you,
Doug.
Bud?
Do, 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 do. Oh, sorry, just jamming out to the hold music.
Okay, cool.
I'm good, guys. It's nice to be on. Of course, for those that don't know me, I'm Dougie Nerd. I do the top 10 article on EDH Rec every Friday. Hang around on the internet and typically just make way more decks than is in any way healthy, honestly.
It's incredible output, honestly.
I mean, when we say like more decks that are healthy, like what is like a healthy number of decks to be making? Because I'd argue that healthy people, like stable people, probably make zero decks. They're just doing other stuff with their time.
This is news to me. Oh my gosh.
Well, you still
if you
got
take the average
decks.
Person, I'm not sure that they even play Magic the Gathering. So
right. It's a really big game, and most people are probably busy, like, I don't know, Netflix and or whatever. But yeah, I'm also really happy that you said your name, because I had it wrote down as Doug Ya Nerd or Doug Y Nerd. You do a lot of writing and a lot of things, and I want to get into all of that, but we start at the beginning here. How long have you been playing Magic? When did you start writing? Like, give me kind of the threshold that led you up to talking to Alex and I here.
So I'm one of the old heads as far as Magic goes. I've been playing since I was 10, which, doing some quick math, is 1995. My first set was Fallen Empires.
Damn.
And I owned a revised starter deck at one point. I don't know where any of those cards are. They're certainly not with me anymore. Or I'd be rolling in a lot more money.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I've been playing a long, long time. I've done Commander. I've been playing since 2010. So we've been doing that for a long time as well. My third deck I ever made was a group hug deck in Feldegriff. It's a deck that I still play today, although it's obviously not the same anymore. And then as far as writing, I was basically doing articles on Reddit before I started writing for any kind of online anything. Mm-hmm. And then EDH Rec came through with an article that was very similar to one of the series that I was writing, talking about, you know, why isn't this card a staple, was essentially, and I was doing posts on that like once a week.
Okay.
And I complained loud enough that Jason Alt, the content director, out at EDH Rec, said, well, why don't you just come write for me?
Yeah.
And that's how I got started. So, yeah.
So you squeakiest wheel got the oil onto an actual article series. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still how he hires people or not. I would hope that he's, you know, kind of changed his practices since then. But
I see.
Apparently complaining on the internet is how you get things done.
I would broadly say, write for EDH Rec or Commander's Herald or another Commander site, you need to start writing first, and then maybe you can write for the site after that.
Fair enough. Okay.
No, and I think that was exactly what it was, because it wasn't just me complaining. It was me complaining, A, that they were doing something similar to what I was already doing. And then when he was like, hey, what is this thing you're doing? I provided him with somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 links to Reddit posts that were basically articles already.
Yes. Okay, so, okay. Yeah. Hold on, hold on. So that said, Alex, we started doing the ooh, can I see that cards that was literally taken from EDH Rec and cards that were played in less than 1% of their decks. And okay, then they started doing that on their Twitter posts.
We took so, that like, from other content creators.
No, yes. Alex. I'm editing this podcast, so we started this thing.
Okay.
And then EDH Rec did it after. We're the first podcast
to ever talk about rare cards.
Right.
Yeah. No.
So,
I can't think of any other series that their whole mantra is to just basically say, "Hey, let's look at cards that no one else talks about."
Yeah. So, yeah. Granted, we've reached a quorum. I appreciate it, okay. EDH Rec. Please hire me. So we've got this article series where we're talking about cards that should be staples. We've been playing the game since we were 10, and we've been playing Commander for, wow, a decade plus. Good on you. Oh, no, I just did math, and I think I've been playing Commander around the same amount of time as you have, and I've realized that I'm older than I thought I was. Okay, new math.
If you started in 2010, that's longer than a decade, Mike.
Yeah, is that a decade plus? That's around. Listen.
You know, I have kids. They remind me all the time that 1990 was a long time ago. And as much as I think it was 10 years ago, it turns out that it was not. No.
I'd 20 years ago, and this was the Final Fantasy I was playing. And it's like, no, that's PlayStation 2, bud. Oof. Okay, here we go. So what do we look for in a game? Like, obviously, we can talk about, you know, oh, these are the type of decks that I like to play. These are the colors that I like to play. And this is how I like to win, etc. What are you looking for in a Commander game? What's an overall good experience for you?
So for a long time, I was a straight Battlecruiser guy. I mean, and I think that's true of pretty much everybody that started Commander back in the day. Because that's all there was.
And that was the reason to play, right?
Right. So, and I tell people this all the time, because at some point it stopped being like the reason that people play Commander. But back when Commander first started, it was a format that was essentially there to play weird old cards that you remembered from an old standard set from forever ago that weren't good enough to play anything anymore. That you couldn't play them in modern or extended or whatever. So you were like, well, I'm going to make a Commander deck that doesn't have to be good so that I can play all these pet cards. And that was kind of the whole reason to play the format, in my opinion.
Yeah, let's slow Commander down. Let's go Battlecruiser.
Slow down and smell the tap lands is usually how I phrase that.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I do like that. Very cool. Well, yeah, being able to do some of that Battlecruiser-y stuff and lean into just an overall, like, oh, I miss this card. Mm-hmm. Hey, I could go in this deck because that's what Commander is. Yeah, I could go in here. Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say that's definitely how I started. I, unfortunately, have recently joined the dark side, though. I've started playing CDH and getting into high-powered stuff, and I think it happens to everybody. It's a natural, just people around you start doing it, so you start doing it. Next thing you know, you're a cokehead. You know, that's just how it is.
It's like peer pressure, that but it's not so much like you have to do it. It's just that looks like fun. I might try that out.
I'm actually excited. I don't know if it'll be out by the time, so I can't actually say. I got a preview card for Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
Wow.
It is, in my opinion, CDH viable, or at least Fringe. So I've been messing around with that. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It might be out by the time this airs. I don't know what you guys' recording schedule versus date is like.
Just release it. Just tell us everything here. It's okay.
It'll be
fine.
Let me just get EDH Rec embargoed.
It's going to get blacklisted.
Yeah, no, we're okay with that. We don't want to blacklist or reserve list anything that we can possibly help with here. Okay, so CDH, we've run the full gamut then, huh? We've gone from, all right, we started in this in Battlecruiser, and now it's like, all right, how do we really tune these decks up? How do we really try and get the speed going? That's pretty cool. I like that. I still haven't hit the CDH level, but I am like creeping towards this deck, you know, on the power scale, it's extremely tuned. I wouldn't say that it's a CDH, but man, I'm close there in a couple ways.
I just don't see myself going for CDH. I don't think it's my thing. Although maybe I haven't been playing long enough. I've only been playing for 7-8 years. Not 10.
I didn't think it I didn't think it would ever be my thing, to be fair. You know, I've literally had like a draft in my articles forever that was like, I don't like CDH because ... Mm-hmm. that I never actually published, you know. I didn't ever think it would be my thing, but it turns out that, you know, it's just like anything else. It's fun to play, and it's fun to brew, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, I wanted to have, I always talk about having decks at each power level. I wanted to have in my Stanley box something all the way down to from my Pegasus Tribal, which is just kind of nonsense jank battlecruiser, all the way up to the top of the line. So that if somebody sat down at the table and said, hey, I have this, I could be like, well, I have that too. Because that's really what I like to be able to do, especially when I'm at the cons.
I get right, that. Right. I do love the idea of like, the like opening shot of a movie and Doug playing like and Doug saying like, all right, and then I'll play Thassa's Oracle, and then the screen stops and freezes. You're probably wondering how I got here, and I think that's what happens with CEDH, where it's like, okay, I'm building these decks, I'm tuning these decks, and then the brewer part of it is just like, well, this, if I did this and did this, this and this, will that be a lot faster? And actually, this is a pretty efficient thing. It's almost like the min-maxing for like Dungeons and Dragons or something like that. It's, I'm going to build this thing. It's going to do this thing really, really well. And how do I do it more? How do I do it better? And that kind of efficiency is, I feel like I would really like to brew for a CEDH game. I don't know if I'm ready to play, but the idea of just like, okay, how tight can I get this is something that I totally understand.
I think that's something that really attracted me to it specifically is I always said, well, you know, it's, you could do this and this and this, but then you're just playing CEDH. You know, I'd say it that way. And honestly, it's a different kind of brewing challenge to get a deck as tightly tuned as you need it to be for CEDH.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, you can get pretty close. You can go over to CEDH stats, the CEDH analytics website, look at their metagame cards, and just kind of pop everything in your colors down until you have 112 cards in the deck and then cut to 12. Mm-hmm. You can do that and get pretty close, but that's not going to be tuned enough.
Right.
You're still going to have to do some other things.
It's a different tier entirely, which is why we have EDH and CEDH. Right. But the overall, I guess it's a mindset thing. Because like I'm halfway in that mindset. I'm excited to like sit down and what's the coolest thing that I can create. But as far as piloting it and being in a game where other people are piloting theirs, I think that is, you know, pardon the simplicity of it, that's a little more competitive than I'm looking for right now. But that doesn't mean I'm never going to. I'm a sure. lot closer now than I was 5 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, heck, when we started this podcast ago, I'm closer than I was. So,
to anyone that has an interest, what I would honestly suggest to you is if you find yourself at a Magic Con, walk over to the CEDH section and ask anyone if they have a deck you can borrow. And
okay.
That's the best way to do it. You're going to find something, and you'll find out real quick whether you like it or not. And they will lead you through the combo lines because they're going to know when they're dead more than you will at that point.
And it's their deck. So, I mean, worst case scenario, if they're sitting there and it's like, all right, well, I lost, but I lost to the person who was playing my deck. That's still like a half win, you know? Right. So if you care a little bit, but I dig that. All that said, wow, we talked about CEDH for a decent amount there. Group hug. So here, Alex and I, you know, we banded together to form this podcast because in our play group, we noticed that we liked a lot of the talking at the table and trying to give people, you know, kind of mini games in the game. You know, whether we're talking about politicking, making deals, giving resources, just trying to enable everybody to have as good a time at the table as they possibly can. Not to say that CEDH doesn't do that, but to say that, like, we are going to facilitate as good of a game as possible for everyone. And Group Hug in particular seems like it's kind of really done that. You mentioned earlier your third deck, I think it was, that you had built for Commander was a Feld deck. What kind of took you over to the Group Huggy aspect? Was it leaning more into those Battlecruiser type of cards, or is it the table dynamics? What kind of attracted you to Group Hug in general?
So I think the full story there is really what my first deck was. My first deck was me. I said, you know, hey, I wanted to play my old cards that I loved in Standard. I made a Standard deck during the Counter Rebels situation. I don't know if the people that were around for that will know what I'm talking about. But Rebels was a deck that was so good during Mercadian Masks that the meta deck became counter rebels, which was just rebels with counter spells so you could counter the other guy's rebels.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that bad a format, essentially. I made a deck during that time period that was green-red land destruction, and it kind of broke the meta because rebels needed to have a bunch of mana to be able to search up more rebels. Sure. And I was just like, I was just putting Stone Rains down on turn two and just not letting him do that. So when I started up Commander and they were like, you can play anything. I was like, well, I'm going to make my own green red land destruction deck. So I made a green red land destruction deck as my first Commander deck. Mm-hmm. And people didn't want to play against it for some reason.
Yeah, it's weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's strange how those kind of things happen. So after that, I tore apart that Wart the Raid Mother green red land destruction, and I made a green black oops all creatures kind of build with Sapling of Kul'Thunor, which is another deck that I still have to this day. Except for it is really oops all creatures now. It's Umori the Collector as a companion in there.
Love that.
And so I played that one, and it kind of introduced me to Aristocrats and all that kind of stuff. But I was still finding people that felt like I was going a bit too fast. With my 5-mana bad Phyrexian Arena commander. And so that was the reason that I really was like, okay, let's just be as friendly as possible. And I did the cardinal sin of group hug stuff when I first built it. I built it without a win con, because I think everybody does that when they start, because sure. No one's told them, hey, that's a bad idea.
That's why we're here, tell you it's a bad idea.
Yeah, you should try and win the game. To be clear, yes. If anyone is listening and is like, oh, I hate group hug decks, they're kingmakers and blah, blah, blah. If anyone has played a group hug deck for longer than 10 minutes, somebody has advised them of the error of their ways, hopefully, and they are actually trying to win the game at this point. So what my Feldegrift deck eventually became was alternate win conditions.
Cool.
And now it's got almost all of them in there, including the, what's the 3-mana enchantment that you have to have a creature of all 5 colors.
Happily Ever After.
Yes, I even put Happily Ever After in there, which you can do with a couple cards that steal creatures from hopefully the Rakdos deck to get me all 5 colors.
Make
now,
it
is someone playing Rakdos? Because if they're not, I can't win.
To be fair, it's kind of alternate win condition. You know, it's got a whole bunch of them. So Approach of the Second Sun's in there. It will easily mill you to death as well. It's got a lot of different
That's
ways
so
to win
cool.
the game. And then one of my first kind of more successful articles, I would say, when I was doing my old series, Making the Cut, that I still reference all the time, was an old article I had called Friendly Neighborhood Infinite Mana Combos. And that one featured the Maze of Vith, and any creature that can untap 2 lands will get you infinite mana during your combat step. Because you can attack with the creature that untaps 2 lands, untap it with Maze of Vith, and then tap it to untap Maze of Vith and another land, and it'll just get you infinite mana. But it's infinite mana, you know, with a creature that has Summoning Sickness, that is a 4-mana creature in general, and also doesn't have an out attached to it. And also, you only have that mana during your combat step, so you have to be able to do it at instant speed. So that was kind of the idea behind that article. Is like, is this a bad enough combo that I can play this at a middle tier table and be okay without people getting mad at me, was really the question behind
Interesting question. What was the answer to that?
I've been doing it for a long time and nobody particularly cares. I'm also very vocal about my combos, though.
That's
I'm
good.
Not one that's gonna spring it on
that's
you
good.
Yeah, yeah, I like I'll that. Put down the Maze of Vith and the I'm forgetting what the 2-mana untap guy that searches that has partner with is right now, Leyline Sage or something like that,
something like
anyway, yeah I know that one.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll plop one of those 2 down and be like, hey, I play the other half of this combo and this is why I play it. And it is kind of bad. So maybe you should be scared. Maybe you shouldn't.
That's just classic.
Maybe you're going to get infinite hippos out of this. Who knows?
We love when people are vocal about what they're doing at the table when they're about to line up a win, especially when that wins a combo, because people may not be aware of the entire line of that combo or what the cards do with each other.
Right.
And one of my favorite, the Infinite Hippos thing, I throw it out there as a kind of a troll, but honestly, I've done it before where I've had Propaganda out and a couple other pillow forts, and I've been like, yeah, here, everyone have infinite hippos, except for the arch enemy, and you guys go kill that guy, and then we'll figure out what happens afterwards.
That's right. The best kind of group hug. That's awesome.
I do think that group hug really comes down to, like, okay, I'm going to give everybody cards and everything along those lines, but now I'm going to be playing chess, and you're all pieces. If I put this player up a little bit higher, maybe they can actually take care of this player for me, because that's where might be a little... And here's the thing. That's a whole lot of different adjectives that might not be so kind. But if you're doing it for the fun of the game and for an overall good experience, I think you can get away with it. You know, no one thinks they're a villain until they're already the villain. But that said, that's pretty cool. I do like the idea of, like, all right, here's the combo in this deck. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Sorry, it's the explanation. We're big on the you know, don't tell anybody. It's like, oh, what's your deck? Oh, it's a seven. Everybody's deck is a seven. And it's like, okay, what's it do? How does it do it? When does it try to win? You know, is it a big tutory deck? Is
how
it
much
a big
interaction
combo
does
deck?
It have?
Like, yeah, just go yes. into a little bit of the. And I've figured out that most of my decks, I get to say pretty similar to the same things. My deck doesn't interact with y'all at all. Or my deck interacts with you, but you get to choose what it interacts with. I'm not going to destroy things unless it's absolutely the problematic thing and everybody hates it. We're all voting.
that was one of the fun things about... So I have this new Red Death Shipwrecker deck that I wrote an article about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I've had a whole bunch of fun with it. And the reason I built it is, A, because the commander's really awesome. It's a tiny crab that goads and makes mana and is just really cool.
Yes.
But... honestly, I've had a mantra for forever with my Feldegrip deck that is, you know, group hug is a control strategy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that.
Yes.
You're giving everyone as much mana and as many cards as you can, and having a deck that is engineered to thrive in that environment while everyone else is not struggling, but maybe just not expecting to suddenly have 20 mana on turn
exactly.
5.
Exactly.
With 12 cards.
Sticking our language.
Yeah, it stacks, except for in the exact opposite direction. You're still controlling
Correct.
Tempo. You're still controlling resources. It's just now, instead of everybody trying to take to race each other where they thought they were going to race on a track, now they're racing in quicksand. You're giving everybody a Ferrari. Hey, we're still running the same race. It's just now, if you'd like, I've brought you a car.
We're on that horizontal airport pedestrian horizontal escalator. You know the one.
Yeah. The
sure,
conveyor belts for... Yeah, yeah.
The Walk-O-Matic.
And,
okay.
And hey, if you know that Walk-O-Matic is there, you can keep walking on it, and you're going to be in great shape.
Stumble.
Or you can, or you can stay to the side and you can walk normally, or you can get onto the Walk-O-Matic and not move and just let it carry you.
That's where my Hippo Hugs deck lives. It lives in that environment of, I have 12 cards in hand. Three of them are pieces of interaction to deal with your crap to make sure you don't win the game. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a gigantic X spell that's going to do something stupid next turn. And then there's probably a win con in there somewhere that I might get around to.
Hey,
that sounds like a control deck today.
Exactly. That's what it is. So Red Death was a very, very interesting twist on that for me, because it doesn't provide that whole environment. So to read the card, it's a blue and a red for a 1/3 legendary crab mutant. And it has a tap ability called Alluring Eyes that says, tap, goad target creature an opponent controls, that player draws a card, and you add a red mana.
Yep.
Incredible.
So this is it's just taking that whole thing and turning it on its head just a tiny bit, because now I'm giving my opponent cards but not mana. And I'm giving myself a ton of mana, but not cards.
Right.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, you can do group hug with this.
Oh,
there's no question of that. But what's the best way to do this? So, of course, the first thing you're going to do is get every untapped shenanigan you can find in the game.
Yes.
In the deck. I'm looking at my deck list right now. It plays 16 untapped things to typically just make it stupid immediately.
Probably looks a lot like my Nin deck. Lots of untappers there. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure it looks like a lot of people's Pingers decks. I'm sure it's got Intruder Alarm in there.
Yes.
Pemmon's Aura
and
what's the other one? Freed from the Real.
Yes.
Yep.
That are usually just combo machines. They're very fun with
value.
Red Death specifically.
Yeah.
Well, they're fun with Red Death because they not only untap, but he filters for red mana with them. So you'll tap a blue and get back a red and won't actually lose any mana.
Yeah.
And you'll goad creatures and make them draw cards at the same time. So Red Death is very interesting because it provides that card draw for your opponents. and it goads all their creatures. So essentially what you want to do is put the game in a state where everyone has huge creatures that are swinging at everyone else besides you.
Correct.
Perfect.
Love
it. Right. So you get all that with your commander, and that's great. So what does that leave? It leaves, I need to figure out how to draw cards.
Yep.
And I need to figure out how to deal with the things that aren't creatures.
Which, I mean, and is it? Not too terrible to figure out.
It's pretty well-rounded for that purpose. And you said you don't have card draw on the commander. It'll cover you in that department, too.
Yeah. So the way I went with it is I said, well, what if we just went straight... what's the kind of karate where you use somebody's momentum against
judo? Judo.
What if we went straight judo with it and just said, okay, if all the creatures are, we're going to say they're all dealt with and they're all attacking someone else, mm-hmm. all the spells I want to use against you. So I just threw 16 copy spells into mm-hmm. the deck and said, if you get something big out, I'm just going to also own a copy of it and we'll figure out what happens from there. And then, of course, copy spells can copy spells, which gets you down a whole rabbit hole of math that you're going to have to enjoy in this deck one way or another. and then there is some removal as well. I went with a whole bunch of polymorph stuff. The idea there was if I had a creature that was a problem, I could maybe just polymorph it into a creature that wasn't a problem mm-hmm. To just keep it rolling and keep on goading. My favorite thing about it, though, is it almost entirely runs at instant speed. There's very little that you need to do during your turn. So you can kind of just plop down your commander on turn two and then untap the next turn, plop down an untapper to make sure that you're good to go, and then pass turn and play draw go from there.
Nice.
Because you can just do it all at instant speed.
That's a control deck.
It is.
This is a great list here. We're leafing through it. And obviously we've looked at it before. We see some classic group hug cards in here that we love to play.
Yeah, there's a little bit of the everybody draw card, mostly just because I also need to draw my copy spells. But that's one of the nice things about copy spells is if anyone else plays a draw thing, you can probably also get a copy of the draw thing.
Right.
So
right.
That's pretty nice.
But yeah, like your Temple Bell, your Horn of Greed, your Mikokoro, like
you got Humble Defector.
The standards. Yeah, the standards that we end up like,
exactly.
Okay, we're in these colors. Great, this is definitely what's going in there. You've also got like my favorite land that nobody plays in Ghost Town, and I love
Ghost Town.
It makes me so happy that I'm seeing that on somebody else's list. I love that card.
I mentioned my Pegasus deck for a little while. My Pegasus deck is a mono white landfall deck in disguise, and mm-hmm. it plays a ton of Ghost Town specifically because it'll turn on all of the Knight of the White Orchid effects.
Right.
So nice. I love that land. Any excuse I see to play it, I will take.
For everybody's reference, if you're not familiar, Ghost Town is a land that you can tap to add a colorless mana. And then you have the ability for zero for the old text. Return Ghost Town to its owner's hand, but use this ability only during another player's turn. So somebody else's turn, you're like, all right, in response, I'm going to put this land back in my hand. So
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Lovely for landfall decks. Lovely for anything that just like, yeah, like you said, the Orchid... The Knight of the White Orchid and stuff like that, where it's like, ooh, I do need to control the amount of lands. Oh, that's clever. I didn't think about that. And this is a card I like.
Yeah, that's smart stuff.
I'm a big fan of that.
Absolutely.
That's
the Wandering Archaic. Love it.
Yeah. Wandering Archaic is in here.
I hate Wandering Archaic.
What?
I mean, it's such a good card,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know, like... It seems stupid to say that in a negative way, but it really is just so boring most of the time. But in this deck, it's a lot of fun,
yeah.
Honestly.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. I like... So, okay. So have we been able to play this deck much? I know it's recent. It's only been, you said, like a couple of weeks.
So I have not built it in paper.
Okay.
But I rather routinely will do spell table games with the Archidect playtester.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of just make your screen cut the hand out at the bottom, essentially.
Sure.
And so I've done four or five games with it that way. Mostly just because I will goldfish decks, but this is a hard deck to goldfish because mm-hmm. your way of killing people is
with their
dependent
stuff. Yeah.
Gold. Yes. So if I don't have anybody else's stuff, then that doesn't
group
work.
Group hug decks can be control decks in general can be difficult to goldfish because, I mean, you'd have to simulate other people's involvement.
Right.
And I still goldfished it a lot just because I wanted to see how quickly I could get to the point where I felt like I was comfortably goading the entire table. And the mm-hmm. answer is pretty fast, honestly.
Good. Nice. Good.
Because you have a commander that is a mana rock in the command zone. So by turn four, you're doing real good.
Yeah, and that's without anything else. You're still pumping really out mana. Yeah, it's so good.
You have an arcane signet in the command zone every game. It's great. Yeah.
I didn't think of it that way, but that's exactly what that is. That's very cool. There's so many cards in here that I don't see a whole lot of anymore, but absolutely work with this. And oh, it's a group hug deck. Well, Skyscribing.
Yeah, Skyscribing.
Then you get into I the amount of times that I actually see Words of Wisdom, and I love it so much. It's just one in a blue for an instant. You draw two cards, and then each other player draws a card. Dictating a crew fix, really cool stuff along those lines. But with the overall idea of it's kind of a show and tell, or it's all right, great. I want you to put stuff out there, and then I want to decide where it's going / make some of my own /. The idea of enabling, and then all right, great. You can do whatever you want with it, as long as it's over there. Over here. No, this is a safe zone. The crabs
and I can tell you from experience from those spell table games, it can blow up in your face really fast.
Oh, sure.
If your commander gets killed and you can't immediately recast it and then maybe give it haste, it can be oh, those 30 creatures on the other side of the board I've been goading are suddenly not goaded and they're all coming this direction.
Right.
But it is just really fun to have both your pillow fort and your ramp in the command zone.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
Yeah. I mean, the three of us all have a... I mean, you may be more, but based off of this, we all have at least one deck that's dedicated to untappers.
We do.
The ability. Yes. And the idea of all right, great. I really hope no one blows up this innocuous. It's probably not bad on its own commander, because that would suck for a while. And I'll do other stuff, but I really like the commander doing
Mike also tends to
things.
Really, on some of your decks, that commander is integral.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a couple where it's necessary.
So this is actually my second untap effects deck that the one that I have in paper though is Samut, who is the thousand year elixir on a stick.
Yeah.
So she's five mana, and you can pay a white to untap a creature, and all your creatures have haste.
Yep.
And then she has every keyword because she's dumb like that.
Because that's how that goes.
And that's one of my most high power decks because it gets out of control quick. It doesn't play all the combos, but it does everything but that.
Right.
It will kill you.
I think people underestimate that, and even me to some regard, people really underestimate how nice it is to have, like you said, Arcane Sigma in the command zone, emblem in the command zone. Okay, great. No, all of my creatures have haste in the command zone. So at any point, we're going. Just be ready for it.
The thing that people don't like about that deck is that it plays every Torpor Orb effect.
Now we're talking.
All of my creatures have haste and do tap things, so I don't need Enter the Battlefield effects.
Right, and you have creatures that do tap, untap things. Yes. So that checks out. Man, Alex, I'm not there yet to build a Stax deck, but I am I even just saying out loud, it's a group hug is just the same thing as Stax, but in the opposite direction.
I mean, that's part
of what got me into CEDH. I could play Stax and feel free about it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. No one's going to get mad at me here. I still will, but I'll be the one who's wrong. that's just my own personal vendetta. But the idea of all right, great. Let's enable. Let's disable. Well, you're doing the same thing. It's just making people choose more. I actually think that I'm coming around a little bit on land destruction, just because if I'm going to take everything else resource wise, why is destroying the land that much worse if it wins the game quickly?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, I agree.
The slippery slope card for land destruction, and I did a whole article on this, as far as red land destruction spells that were okay to play, ? But there's a five mana one at instant speed. Let me see if I can find it here.
Sure.
Volcanic Offering.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Volcanic Offering is four and a red as an instant.
That's a political
card. It says destroy target non-basic land you don't control, and target non-basic land of an opponent's choice you don't control. And then Volcanic Offering deals seven damage to start creature you don't control and seven damage to start creature of an opponent's choice you don't control.
Hey, we claim that in group territory. That's ours.
I mean, it's fun. And in 1v1, if they're clever enough, they'll figure out that they can choose the same thing that you chose.
Yes,
right.
So they don't have to blow up their own stuff. But in general, in a four-player deck, you're going to blow up four things on the table that are a problem. And none of it's going to be yours. And it's going to be done at instant speed.
Offering cycle is a lot of value on there.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
But that's the slippery slope to land destruction, in my opinion, is that
stir card. The group and up that, root.
And that's totally reasonable. I mean, like, here's the thing. I have, you know, I have a landfall deck. It's either Damia, Sage of Stone, or Arkalos, the good Staxy Turtle that I don't know you had an Archie deck. Well, it's the same exact deck, and it's just which one of those is going to be in my command zone. But the whole point of it is I leave it untapped all the time because I'm playing landfall with a whole bunch of tap lands, and I'm like, no, I want them to all to come in. I'm not going to tap this creature for anything. You can have fun. Do whatever you want. But, yeah. Like, I do have Sunder in that deck, like, because that's my win con. It's, all right, great. I'm going to bounce everybody else's lands. I'm going to put all of my lands back onto the battlefield at the end of my turn. There we go.
I thought Sunder was banned.
That's Sundering Titan.
Yes. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought Sunder was too, though.
Is Sunder also bad? Mike.
I don't know.
Mike.
Am I playing something illegal? We'll figure that out in a second.
EDH ban list.
Mike.
Okay. We're gonna see if I'm a terrible person right off the bat.
I mean, I could be wrong. I really
I know Sundering Titan is right. Banned.
It is just Sundering Titan, yeah. Not Sunder.
Okay. Then okay. There you go. I'm just a bad person. I'm not
exactly.
A cheater. So that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Fair.
We did that.
He's skirting the law.
yeah, skirting it. But yeah, that's one of those, like, yeah, I will play this because it will win me the game. You know? So it's like, my land destruction thoughts are like, great, if you blow up all of the lands and your lands are still there, cool, win the game. I don't, there are lands that are a problem. If somebody has a Glacial Chasm and a way to not die to the life loss, cool.
Yeah.
If you don't have a way to deal with it, that's a problem. So, like, there has to be at least some kind of land destruction, unless you're just relying on destroy target permanent instead. So if it's something where it's on the line of if you don't address it, you can lose no matter what, then it should be something that's okay for you to play.
I completely agree. Glacial Chasm is probably the best example of why you need a land, even if it's just one, you need something that can deal with a land in your deck. Because it is beyond frustrating to sit there and watch probably a Dirty Groovehug player sit there behind their Glacial Chasm and not be able to do anything about it.
And the best part about Glacial Chasm,
I'm raising my hand.
You don't need something to manage the life loss. As long as you can have it out long enough, just four or five turns, that's only about a quarter or a half of your life total. Big deal. You just stalled five turns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the idea of like, all right, I play Glacial Chasm and Approach of the Second Sun, pass.
Oh, goodbye.
Let me know if any of you are going to shuffle my library or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
I recommend you do, in fact.
Because otherwise, I just don't care what you're doing, to be honest.
Honestly. Yeah. I recently, I'm not sure if it's playable, but in concept, I made a Corona False God deck.
I love Corona. I've built so many Corona decks, you have no idea.
Yeah, here's the thing. I figured out that my entire goal in deck building at this point is, I don't like Voltron. Great. Well, you're playing Voltron, whether you like it or not. I have a Jessica and Arden deck that does that, you and just like, hey, deck. I'm gonna pass stuff along. I've got a Ruhan deck where the entire goal is to get an assault suit on it. Stuff like that. I don't like Groovehug. Well, welcome great, you're playing Groovehug now. Stuff like that. But the entire thing about Corona is, all right, great. It's the most tutor heavy deck that I've ever built. And it tutors for the dumbest stuff in the entire world. Like,
nice.
I've got an Enlightened Tutor so I can get an artifact out of it, or so I can get an enchantment out of there, so I can get the Dryad of the Elysian Grove, just so it's like, great, I don't want to have to figure out my mana fixing or anything like that anymore.
Are you playing Corona Sunforger? Because that's kind of amazing.
Kind of, but the whole point of it at a certain point is to be the obnoxious person that's like, all right, great, I'm going to put this thing onto the table, it can't hurt me, and now I'm going to Teferi's out, and I'm going to skip my next 100 turns. You all figure this out. If one
lethal
of you,
vapor style.
Yeah, stuff like that. I'd love for people to just kill each other with the souped up, aura'd up, Sunforgered up Corona False God that I'm giving to them. And my whole thing is like, I got to play Ruined Halo on there to name my own commander. Which is silly to me. It's so good. It's like, all right, I'm going to have protection for my card. Mine. This can't hurt me no more. Leave me alone. You can absolutely, if you're playing any other creatures whatsoever, good news, they can probably come in at me, and they're all going to get +3/+3. But
just not my own commander.
But no, you will not hurt me with it's stuff like that.
He doesn't have an assault suit. He'll make an assault suit.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Another exploration in that arena that I was like, is this group hug? Is my Zancha Mass Discard deck.
Okay.
Which is, it's a mass discard deck, and it plays every Pox. That was kind of the whole idea of the deck, is I love Pox. I wanted to play every Pox. For those that don't know, Pox is a very old card. I agree, it's not. The question mark was vestigial. So it plays every Pox. Pox is an old card that says sacrifice a third of your permanents, discard a third of your hand. The permanents include your lands, by the way, and lose a third of your life total.
Yep.
There's about 5 or 6 different versions of the card out there, and it plays all of them, including Death Cloud. But it's a mass discard deck, but it's also kind of got that friendly feeling to it, because you can plop Zancha down, give it to someone else, and they've got a 5/5 they have to swing with that's goaded. So it can't swing at me, but it can swing at anybody else. But it also has an ability. It also has an ability that says pay 3 mana. The person owning or controlling this card loses 2 life, and you draw a card.
Yes,
right.
And any player can play that ability. So it's kind of like taking with one hand and giving with the other. Where I'm like, nobody has any hands. Here, let me help you with that. I'll just give this to the archenemy, and everyone can draw cards now. And that person will die, and we'll all be happy, right? Yes. Question mark?
I do love the nobody has any hands. How did that happen? That's weird. Let me fix this mistake.
Please ignore the megrims on the table.
Yeah. This is different.
Forceful mulligans. Who did that?
Yeah.
It's not a deck I get to play all the time, because I do have to warn people ahead of time that it is a mass discard deck.
Right.
But I do enjoy it.
That sounds great. Like,
yeah.
I am all about, like, the if everybody is dealing with the same issue, I'm fine with it. You know?
That's group slug, Mike.
And that's group slug. Whether it's discard, combat, whatever it is, you know.
And that was that vestigial question mark I was talking about. It's like, can a group slug deck be group hug?
And the answer is clearly, I don't think that no. one is.
Here's the thing. Anything can be group hug as long as, you know, you ignore some of the cards of the command zone. What else is in here?
How many cards do you have in the command zone, Mike?
Sometimes 2. But
I play a CEDH deck that's Fringe that plays 4 commanders.
Go on.
It is, I call it three color 11 card. It's Jeskai with the First Doctor and Amy Pond, both of which can basically a partner with cards in your deck. So the TARDIS in the case of the First Doctor and Rory Williams in the case of Amy Pond. The entire idea was, is having 4 cards good enough to be good? And the answer is kinda.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
The answer to your question is question. That's very cool. I like that. Man, building 3 decks a week, like on average.
Yeah, writing an article a week. Jesus.
Yeah, like is that? Have you always like had that kind of like? That drive and that mentality of like, all right, what else can I do? Or was this that was awakened?
I really just like brewing, honestly. And yeah, I think it's gotten worse. It's probably something I need to take up with a therapist, to be honest. But I really, really just like brewing. I kind of get annoyed when new sets come out and there's not a commander that interests me.
Yep.
And I'll go find older stuff instead.
Yeah, no, that's you know, fair.
Fallout just came out. I built, I think, 4 decks out of Fallout.
I was going to say, we talked about a couple of those.
We talked about Red Death.
So Red Death I did. Mm-hmm. That one got an article. This week's article, that'll be probably 2 weeks old by the time this comes out, was the green, I'm already forgetting his name, Strong the Brutish Thespian.
Okay.
He's the green one that he has Enrage. Anytime he's dealt damage, you get 2 rad counters, and he gets 2 +1/+1 counters.
Oh, boy.
And then he also says, rad counters, you don't lose life from them, you gain life from them.
Yes.
So I built him as a green mill deck, fight deck.
Yep.
And that was a whole bunch of fun. One that I did just for fun and didn't really find an excuse to do an article for, I did Yes Man.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make him... I wanted to make him mean instead, so
no!
I called the deck. Yeah, the deck is called No Man, and the entire idea is that it is a mono white control deck where I get to draw cards with Yes Man and then immediately blink him back to myself, or use the land Homeward Path that says, okay, I'll tap him and then I'll just immediately tap the land and he's mine again now. And then you can kill people with alternate win cons like Approach of the Second Sun, or just with the massive amount of soldier tokens that Yes Man
brings. Like my kind of deck.
If you haven't seen him in play yet, by the way, he will routinely in the turn of a table get like six counters on him that will eventually turn into soldiers that you own. So yeah, he's pretty fun.
I love that card so much, and I do absolutely dig the fact that, despite everything that I say about control, the fact that you made it you made Yes Man a No Man is so cool.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
It's a fun deck. I hope I find an excuse to write about it at some point. And then the other one I did do an article on was Dr. Lee, the energy commander from the actual energy deck, the head commander of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did her as Blink Artifacts, since she cares about artifacts and energy, and almost all the energy cards are ETB effects.
Okay.
So I played every artifact that blinks stuff, essentially, and she can go get them back from the graveyard if they die, and blink all of the stuff that is making you energy to mess around with, essentially.
Very cool.
Sounds cool. Yeah.
And then I've had my eye, I'm an incorrigible land destruction player.
Sure,
I've had my eye on the Motherlode Excavator.
Yeah.
Which is
the mono red
energy commander. That it makes energy equal to the amount of non-basic your target opponent has on ETB. And then you can pay four when it attacks to destroy a non-basic land and make all their creatures without flying not be able to block.
Yeah.
Right.
I really want to build that deck.
That's how, like, we talked about that for a while and did the, like, man, I don't know. Like, is this the commander? Or is this in a deck that just cares about energy? Or do you make enough stuff that cares about energy to where this commander is, like, all on its own fun? Like, what do you do with this? Because I'm in on it. I like the idea. It's terrifying.
It's a weird knife's edge, and I think that's why I like it. Because it both wants your opponents to have a whole bunch of non-basics, and also destroys their non-basics.
That's true.
Right.
So... Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting in that regard, and I think that's really what draws me to it. I'm not sure what my hook as far as how to build it will be.
The solution is to give your opponents more non-basics that you can then blow up.
I mean, that's got to be it, except for in mono-red, that's real hard to do.
We'll figure out a way.
Bit harder. Yeah.
The blowing up part is easy in mono-red. No problemo. Blow everything up.
just put on all the artifacts where people are encouraged to draw more cards and play more
lands. Yeah.
It'll be all right. Oh, that one's good. That one's good. No, that one's bad. That one's got to go.
Well, we say that about our group hug and resource granting decks, that, you know, if you're able to give it, then you probably should also be able to take it away, Mike.
I mean, you say that, and I mostly nod, and I just say, that's fine. They can have whatever they want. I just want more.
Oh, we're on the same page. You don't like stacks?
Yeah. We're on the same page, just not like fully. I don't care what I give to everybody else, as long as I have more stuff than them.
Yes, I do enjoy that as well.
Yeah, so Vala, Explorer Returned. Yes. You can all have cards, it's fine. Yes.
Have you seen any of the really mean Sylvala decks, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The if you play just Oops All Untap effects with Sylvala...
Hi.
You can legitimately just tap and untap her... And have 25 mana, and everyone's drawing their entire deck, and then you play a big X spell and win the game. It's nuts.
I've gotten to a point where I don't have any for sure infinite combos in that deck, but I have enough things that are basically infinite. Like, okay, I'm gonna have a Nyxbloom Ancient and a Staff of Domination. I'm gonna tap Sylvala. Good news. Like, if one card is a non-land card, I'm gonna
unfortunately
do this more.
Untap effects. You could try and build with an infinite combo. I don't think you could succeed, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to end up with one whether you like it or not.
I'm going to get it, Mike.
An area
you're
going to
have a combo in that deck.
Exactly. But I think it's a Wheel of Sun and Moon or something like that.
Yeah,
it's
I love that card.
Yeah. It's the like that has turned into my new goal with that deck, because I – That the way that deck wins, even though it puts out these huge battle cruisery ridiculous creatures, the goal with that deck is I want to win with like Helix Pinnacle, or I want to parlay everybody until they no longer have cards, but I'm putting cards in my graveyard, but wheels on a move, stuff like that, where it's like,
yeah, that's something we didn't talk about with Red Death. It's not a May, by the way, everybody. Yeah. You can draw people to death, and you probably will.
The crab says draw.
But yeah, you were talking about Wheel of Sun and Moon. That's one that I actually play in my Feldegrift deck, and it will make you more or less invulnerable with the card Energy Field, which is a one and a blue for an old enchantment from Urza's Saga that says prevent all damage that would be dealt to you. Bury this card if any of your cards go into the graveyard. Which Wheel of Sun and Moon says cards that go to your graveyard go to the bottom of your library instead.
Yeah. Nice.
So you got to figure out a way
called a combo, nice. Mike. You ever heard of one?
I have.
One of my favorite pillow forts in that entire deck. It's really fun.
Yeah, which is so weird. I'm sitting here and it's like, I hate stacks because people take things away. Oh, but I love Pillow Fort, where I get to take away ability for anybody to hurt me in any way, shape, or form.
There's a lot of people that see those two things as the same thing, honestly.
I'm getting closer.
On your pillow, Mike.
No, I've got those. That's the Thantis deck and stuff like that. So I'll tell you what, when is the next planned article? When is the next planned thing that we're leaning into? We went into a like, oh, we're gonna have to look into building this deck, and we're building this deck, and I think I'm gonna build this, or I built this deck. I don't know if it's gonna be an article. We'll see. What's the next planned project from you, Doug?
So, like I said, I got a preview card from Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
So cool.
I'm excited about it. I can't talk about it, obviously, but I am excited about it. That should come out about the time that this airs. Do you guys know when this is gonna air?
It might be this afternoon. It might be next week.
Okay. So if it's this afternoon, it'll be next week. Okay. If it's next week, then it will, I believe it's coming out Monday or Tuesday. So that'd be like the 26th of March, somewhere in there. And then I will have my normal article out on Friday. That's one that I'm writing right now. And I'm so jumbled, I forget what it is. Hang on 1 second and I will tell you.
Mike, we got to get ourselves a preview card, a group hug one.
I mean, yeah, heck yeah.
Get to work, Alex. I don't know.
What do you mean get to work? I don't know what to do.
I'm busy.
You think
I'm
know people?
Yeah, you know Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hi,
nice
Doug.
To know
How
you.
How you doing?
Hello. I'm currently working on top 10 one-sided board wipes that will come out Friday of next week. So
that's so cool. That'll be exciting. Great. Our listeners will love that. That's
I don't believe that one will have a deck list with it, but probably make a couple decks just because.
It'll be a good read.
Yeah,
I like especially it. I know I will because we're about to get all the Outlaws of Thunder Junction previews, and I know I'm going
to
end up building.
You're
six
about to
of
commit
those.
Some oh, crimes.
Exactly.
But like incorrigible ones, very exciting.
Yes.
Well, cool. Doug.
Incorrigible is an encouraging you to do
or incorrigible
or yeah, that's where I was at.
Is an unchangeable.
I like to say things in a way to where it is eye of the beholder. I like to group hug my words to where you can do whatever you want with the resources and the vocabulary.
When you look at me that way, it means I was joking.
Yeah. Mm. How dare you talk to me like that?
Doug, your articles and your decks are just so cool. I'm really glad that we got to talk to you.
Yeah.
No, I love being on here, guys. And if anyone is interested in my decks, you can find them out on Archidect under Dougie Nerd. I'm sure we'll throw that up in the
yes, we are going
to plug
you.
But yeah, heck yeah. But it was a blast to be on, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll talk group hug with you anytime.
Oh, we're more
that's
than happy to have that happen again. Holy crap, Doug! I just went to your start. Joined 5 years ago. Dex 220.
220.
That's
to be fair. Not all of them are finished.
Alex, if somebody wanted to ask about how some of Doug's decks work based off of at the deck lists and also what kind of cool infinite combos that Doug could use if he didn't already have them in there or other things, or like, hey, how do I contact Doug to let him know that 220 decks is too many / too little / just right, depending on how they're feeling. How would they get a hold of you first?
Okay, well, I don't know why I'm Doug's personal liaison. I feel like you should probably ask Doug those questions. But if you wanted to ask
you know, honestly, I'm for it.
If you want to ask me some questions, you know, yeah. that aren't about Doug, you can get to me on Twitter at LapperMedic, LapperMedic. All of my products are on my website's link tree at lapper.ca, LAPPER.ca. I also run the Commander Spellbook, which is the premier search engine for combos in EDH and singleton formats. And yes, we have the Fallout combos. Yes, we will help you search for your combos in your deck. And when Thunder Junction starts getting those serious previews, we will have those Thunder Junction combos. Don't you worry about that. Now, Doug, do you ever use the site Commander Spellbook for any of your writing or deck building, anything like that?
I would say that I use it more than once a day.
That's awesome.
I use Commander Spellbook a whole lot.
Hey, listeners,
both from my CEDH stuff and example. Otherwise.
Yeah, do it. Come on.
That is so great. Thank you so much.
You could have more or less combos depending on what
exactly.
you're looking for.
Exactly. There are people out there that will put their deck into the Find My Combos and they'll use that to delete all their combos, and that is just dandy.
That's fine.
I was gonna ask if you'd run through that with your untapped deck that you were trying not to have combos in. Did you actually use Commander Spellbook to see if you did or not?
We did that live on air at one point, actually.
We did.
Oh. And we found that I did not have any specifically infinite combos.
Oh, wow. That's actually impressive.
But then we did because Patron of the Orochi was like, oh yeah, cool.
Patron
I'm just gonna
of the Orochi
bounce Patron
so
of
the, cool.
We're just gonna bounce this back to my hand and keep doing it over and over
that's
because
an
the
eight
idea
mana
of like
snake.
Yeah, that's that nice That's nice. It is an infinite combo, but it requires 14 mana on board.
Exactly.
Okay?
So, it requires so
hey,
much work. So are you going to really be upset?
That's the Academy Ruins lock. 14 mana.
Yeah. See, it's fine. It's fine. Speaking of fine, I hope you had a fine time listening to this episode, everyone. Remember that you can go into our show notes to get a link to our Discord server to communicate with us directly. You can also find a link to our Patreon page to be able to support the show. Until next time, I'll have Alex working real hard to get us that group hug preview card.
Yeah, good.
We'll be looking forward to Doug's next article and their preview card. And until then, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you, guys. It was a blast.